Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It's a great privilege and great pleasure for us, for me, to be here. And you are very dear to us. We remember with so much love the three months that we spent with you guys in 2012. And we really love you, and we have you in our hearts. The message today is from Psalm 28. I invite you to open your Bibles and we're going to meditate in these words and to try to help to listen God's word for us. Psalm 28. Psalm of David. To you I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I will be like those who have gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy, as I call to you for your help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds, and for the evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back upon them what they deserve, since they show no regard for the works of the Lord, and what his hands have done. He will tear them down, and never build them up again. Praise be the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance, and be their shepherd and carry them forever. Please join with me with prayer. Father, in this morning we come together as your people, as your body, and we ask you for your mercies in this morning. And help us, Lord, to understand your word and open our eyes and our ears that we may see and listen our glorious Savior and our glorious and merciful Shepherd, Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. As Pastor Adam has already said, I'm from Argentina. I was learning English for almost two years. When Pastor Adam told me about the opportunity to come here to study in seminary, he said, okay, it seems that we have a scholarship to study in seminary in California, but there is a problem. You have to learn English before. And that was a great challenge. With my wife, we started to study English, and the Lord helped us to go through. In order to come here and to do graduate studies, we have to pass an international exam. And the Lord blessed me to already pass, you know. And I came to the seminary, and I really feel that I was prepared to start the studies, because the exam, it seemed to show that. And I remember the first time when I was in the seminary, I approached the first student that I see in the seminary. I started to talk with him. And when I started to talk with him and interact with him, I realized that I almost couldn't understand him. I thought, oh, probably this man, he's an international student also. And this is the problem that we have together. No, he was from the U.S., And I was so frustrated. I was so disappointed. Whoa, that year, this year will be so difficult, no? And I was with my wife, no? And after that, I said to my wife, oh, no, this year will be so difficult. I couldn't understand this guy. And my wife, she pointed to me, okay, you didn't notice that this man, he has a sort of device in his head. It seems that he was deaf. He has a problem to hear. He has this device. That was the reason why I couldn't understand him totally. Between my broken English and his problem for hearing, there was a trouble for communication. No? And this psalm is a testimony of King David praying for the Lord, no? And feeling that the Lord is deaf to his prayers. And we are going to see this in this sermon, that the Lord is faithful. And because we have a merciful shepherd, a merciful Savior, he is able to listen our prayers. And sometimes we felt like the same situation, no? Like we feel like the Lord is not listening our prayers. Today we are going to see that the Lord is our merciful shepherd and he listens our prayers. We are going to explain 3 points from this text. First, we are going to see the desperate prayer of David. Second, the merciful answer from the Lord. And third and last, the different ending. Desperate prayer, a merciful answer, and a different ending. If we look at the desperate prayer of David, we consider the situation. We are not sure which kind of situation was David in this psalm. We can guess probably 2 scenarios, no? The first one could be, we remember the book of Samuel, we have the story when David was fleeing from King Saul, no? Almost for 3 or 4 years, he was running around, no? Fleeing from King Saul, no? The one who was anointed as a king, he who will be the shepherd of Israel, he was fleeing from this wicked, evil man, Saul. The other probable scenario we can guess is that he, if we remember, he had troubles with his son, Absalom. No? Absalom, he took over David's kingdom and he has to flee before his own son to preserve his life. Wherever both scenarios could be, this text is pointing that David was under a real threat of his life. He said, "Lord, if you don't listen to me, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Lord, if you don't listen to me, I will die." In this situation, David goes to the Lord in prayer. He described the Lord as his rock, no? The rock is a wonderful metaphor, no? That describes the faithfulness of God, the stability of God, that we can trust in him, no? We have a saying in Spanish, when someone has troubles for hearing, we say, "Oh, this guy is deaf as a rock. He's deaf as a stone," no? And sometimes we're in the middle of struggles, in the middle of sickness, in the middle of financial situations, and we can feel like David, no? That even the Lord is our rock, he seems like he's deaf to our prayers. The Psalms are wonderful, no? Because the Psalms put the Bible and the scriptures in real life, a real human experience. No? It's like 3 dimensions, no? We can empathize with David in this case, no? But also, what is even greater in the Psalms is that we have the divine perspective. It's the Word of God that explains the situation. If we look at the specific request of David, we can see in verse 3, he said, "Lord, do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil." No? "Lord, do not treat me like those evildoers, those who do wrong." And certainly it has some logical and it's rational, this request. No? If we remember Psalm 1, no? Psalm 1 describes the life of those who are blessed, the laws of those who follow the Lord. And it described as a tree that is planted by streams of water, that yields its fruits in its season and is his leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And during this time, David, he didn't feel like this tree planted close to the river. He was feeling that the Lord was far from him, not listening to his prayers. In the Psalms, we have many, many similar situations, no? For example, Psalm 73, we have the prayer of the psalmist who said, O Lord, why is that the wicked is in the middle of prosperity? And I see the righteous that is suffering. Now this seemingly contradiction. The psalmist understood in that Psalm 73 that the Lord has the ultimate word. Sooner or later, justice will be done on the earth. We have to wait until the mercies of God. David has a specific request. Lord, do not treat me like the evildoers. In verse 6 and 7, we have the merciful answer. Verse 6 said, Praise be the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord helped David. He answered his request. We have the merciful answer. That is great about these psalms, because we have the request and we have the answer. I don't know how do you experience prayer and prayer meetings, but for example, in the seminary, we have a prayer meeting with the students, and it's a good time, it's a great time to share our prayer requests. No? And we come together and we share our burdens between each other. But something that sometimes we don't do is that we don't share when those requests were answered. We don't share with each other when the Lord answer our prayers. And it's something that sometimes we lose, and we have so much blessing when we hear that other people's prayers have been answered. I want to tell you a story. I really like Christian biographies. No? Probably you are very familiar with George Mueller. George Mueller, he was a minister in England in the midst of 19th century, and he was running an orphanage. And they have a grateful ministry, a real blessing, but there was a difficult problem. One morning, they had 300 kids to give breakfast, and there was no bread and no milk. And the people who was in the kitchen, they called Mr. Mueller and say, Mr. Mueller, the kids are asking for food, and we don't have nothing for them. And George Mueller, he just pray and give thanks for the food and for the milk. And as he was praying and he was finishing, someone knocked the door. It was the baker that he felt that the Lord was calling him to bring bread to the orphanage. And when he was receiving the bread, he was still receiving the bread, someone was knocking the door again, and was the milkman that he has a problem with the car, and he has to leave some milk, and he asked to Mr. Mueller if they can take the milk to the orphanage. No? And when we hear these kind of answers from the Lord, we are so encouraged, like this psalm. In this psalm we have the desperate prayer of David, who was so close to death. And we have here the testimony that the Lord was merciful. The Lord heard the answer to the prayer of David. The result of all of this is that the Lord is praised. His name is magnified. If we see, for example, verse 7, David said, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. In this verse, the metaphor change. In the first verses, The Lord was the rock. In this verse, the Lord is the shield. Sometimes the Lord allows us to go through different experiences in order that we may understand different aspects of His character. The Lord is the shield of David. I don't know what are you struggling with. I don't know what are your the things that are causing you anxieties or worries. But your life is not meaningless. God has a purpose to permit those things, to allow those things. The final request of David is in verse 9. He says, "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." David realized that he is just a human being and his people needs the Lord as his shepherd. So far we have seen the desperate prayer and the merciful answer of the Lord. And now we are going to the final point, that is a different ending. We Christians, when we pray, we usually finish with, "In the name of Jesus Christ." We have access to the presence of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I have been in Africa, and the Africans, they pray in that way. I have been here, and they pray in this way, also in South America. And from all the centuries, Christians pray in the name of Christ. If we look at this text, there are some issues that are difficult to understand. How in the world is that the Lord can answer David's request if he himself, he was a wicked man? He was an evil doer. As Pastor Jim Adams pointed, we remember all, we are familiar with the story of King David. King David, one day, he saw a woman and he committed adultery with her. No? And he wanted to hide this sin. And he called her husband from the front of the battle in order to hide this sin. No? He said to Uriah, "Go and sleep with your wife." But Uriah was a very faithful man. He didn't want to go with his wife. He just spent the night in the temple where the king was. And when David saw all this situation, he just wrote a letter to the general Joab saying, "Put Uriah in the front of the battle and leave him just by himself in order that he may die." And he gave this letter to Uriah, and Uriah himself, he went all this way with this letter. That was the end of his life. That's terrible. That, I really, in human terms, I cannot understand why is that the Lord forgive David. Why is that the Lord answer this prayer? How is that David can lift up his hands toward the holy sanctuary if his hands were full of blood? Terrible. In order that the Lord will answer David's prayer, Christ has to pay. In order that God will not be deaf to David's prayers, Christ has to be abandoned in the cross by his Father. As we remember, in the cross, in the Golgotha, Christ, he cried and he said, "Father, you have abandoned me. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Lord, where are you? Where are you?" In order that David will be listened, Christ has to be abandoned in the cross. In order that David will receive an answer from the Lord, Christ has to pay. The one who knew no sin was treated as the worst of the evil doers, in order that we and David, we might receive the righteousness of God. In order that David must go to the pit, Christ went through the pain of the cross and death. with the purpose that David would be not treated as an evildoer, Christ was crucified with two thefts in his sides. He who was innocent and blameless was treated as the thief of sinners. This is the wonderful truth of the gospel. This is the final reason why David's answer was, listen. In Christ we have a merciful answer. One of the prayers of the request of David is that the Lord will be the shepherd of their people. And one of the tensions that we have in the Old Testament is that we have a holy God and we have sinful people. How in the world a holy God can have communion with sinful people? The great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, he bear in himself our sins, in order that we may come together to him. Christ was the answer, in order that he, the Lord, may be our shepherd. Christ is the final answer. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. As Pastor Jiman wrote recently, in John 10, Christ said, I am the great shepherd. And the great shepherd, he laid down his life in our behalf. And this is the final reason why we have a hidden inheritance. That is the final reason why the Lord is not deaf to us. We have a merciful shepherd. We have someone who could understand and who could sympathize with our weaknesses. And as we approach now the table and the communion, we can see in these elements the love of Christ represented by the bread that reminds us of his body that was broken, was pierced because of us, in order that our prayers, our needs, our salvation will be purchased. Also, as we share of the cup, we are reminded of the Lord that he gave himself until the last drop of his blood. And we can grasp the work of the cross and this amazing love that the Lord has for us. In the midst of difficult circumstances, we have the confidence that the shepherd will listen to us. Because the most important thing that we need, he has already provided, namely Christ. If the most important thing that we need, salvation, was already provided, how much more the Lord will listen and answer our prayers for our daily needs. In the midst of situation of distress, anguish, we must remember the merciful answer to the Lord to us in Christ. Let these words be an encouragement to our souls of the mercies of God toward his people, toward ourselves. Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, because in the midst of turmoils of our life and difficult circumstances, we have access to the throne of grace to find mercy for the times of need. Thanks because you are a merciful shepherd and your hand will guide us forever. Thanks for the word of Christ that makes possible that we may be listened in your presence. Lord, give us confidence and help us to remember your mercies in Christ, and that this may be a comfort to our souls. Lord, and as we approach the table, Lord, fed us with your body and your blood that is represented through the bread and the wine. In Jesus' name, in your Son's name, we pray. Amen.